Cleaning Nation, welcome to another episode of the Grow My Cleaning Company podcast. As always, we want to start the show by, quite frankly, telling you that you're awesome. We love you. We do this show solely and only because of the support that we get from you guys. So please keep up the great work of sharing the shows, for giving us great reviews, subscriptions, rating reviews on iTunes. Like us on Facebook. YouTube. I don't know. Maybe some of you guys have heard of that. I try to keep up with the comments that you guys leave and respond to you. So keep up the interaction. We love you, and that's why we do it. If you're listening to the podcast, check out the YouTube channel. If you're watching us on YouTube, subscribe to the podcast. No matter what, growmycleaningcompany.com has all the good stuff that you need to grow your cleaning company. I'll give you a little hint. I'm almost always putting up free trainings or new kind of content and material to help you guys get better. So growmycleaningcompany.com. Check it out and see what we've got going on there. Today, we are chatting with return guests, Peter Weiss from Total Maintenance Services. Total Maintenance Services has been serving the state of New Jersey and Eastern Pennsylvania with commercial cleaning, floor cleaning, and handyman services for 14 years. If you want to reach out to Peter and his team, you can get hold of him at www.totalservices.org. Peter, welcome back.
Hey, Mike. Good to be back.
Hey, so give us a little update about what we chatted about last time, and I'll try and put a link in the show notes to your other podcast so people that love themselves and Peter can get more. Tell us what happened last time, and if you've got an update, we'd love to hear it.
Yep, I think it was probably about 6 months ago. I had questions about growing my business and how I keep it growing. I wanted to hire a salesperson, so I was looking for some advice on if I should look for someone with experience in the business or look for someone who just had no experience and train them from scratch. You had thought that the best way, or you were pretty frank about going with someone outside of the business so I can kind of train and show them the way we do things, and not, they wouldn't be too set in their ways if they're doing it poorly in the past. So we did go that route. We did hire a full-time salesperson a couple months now, and we're basically training them the way we want to train them. So far, it looks so good, but We're hoping for the best. We're hoping, he continues to work hard, and we think we're headed in the right direction.
Cool. Love it. And like I said, I'll put the link to that in the show notes. If you guys want to check out the full kind of setup, it'll be there for you. Well, what's going on in your world today now that we've got the sales guy or gal hired? Hopefully that's working. It sounds like it's working out well so far, so good. Sometimes it takes a while to kind of really know what those guys or gals. What's up new and noteworthy today that we can talk about?
Yeah, I mean, we're giving the person that we hire time, obviously, to build up a pipeline of contacts. We know it's not, and just from past experience, it will take a couple months to, to see more accounts, we believe, start to come in. My real question, and I kind of go back and forth on a nightly basis, I'm looking at other people to possibly hire for sales. I'm thinking about hiring telemarketers. I want to continue growing my business, but there's always this question on how much to put and invest into a budget for marketing for new accounts and how much to keep as profit for myself. And I don't think I really ever know the answer. I'm afraid sometimes I want to take the plunge. I see someone I think might be really good, but at the same time, I'm afraid I'll hire them and then say, I don't feel like I'm making enough money to keep for myself. And I don't want to get rid of someone after I've, recently hired them.
Okay. I love that question because it shows really you're thinking through the business in a pretty thoughtful manner, which is important. So, and I've got a ton to say. So first and foremost, a lot of that is going to depend on your goals. If you want to go fast growth, sometimes the faster you grow, there's more, I don't say need, but you're oftentimes that's going to require more money at risk. So when people say reinvesting in the company, first of all, let's define that because there's a couple things that you can do. First is things like equipment, right? So if you need more, and the nice thing about the janitorial world is it doesn't take a ton, right? You might need a floor, burnisher here or a auto scrubber here. So, certainly, and that's actually on the floor side. If you're just doing janitorial, the equipment side is very little. So most people can kind of just buy that with the profits of the company. It's not that big of a deal. So when you say reinvest in advertising or marketing, two things. One, as much as salespeople can help, that is a risky proposition, right? Because you've got to pay them up front, either in time or money, right? Some people are like, "Oh, I've solved that. I've got commission only salespeople. Don't worry, I've had those as well, and I've managed those teams." Don't be fooled. They cost you. If you're putting them in front of your prospects and you're investing your own time and money to them, please, please, please don't make the mistake of thinking that they are free. if you are paying them either a commission or a salary, it's just the time, the money, the, I don't say the risk, but you're introducing them to all of your customers, which is a huge asset of your company. So don't be fooled. They're never free. That said, it can take time. Like, and just so you guys know, I'm just getting over a cold, so I apologize. My sultry, sexy voice is gone. I've got puberty-stricken Mike just rehitting his whatever, but I'm going to do the best I can. Still give you adult Mike's perspective, because I promise you, puberty Mike didn't know nothing about business. So that said, salespeople can be great, but they're expensive. They take time to get going. They're risky, right? You might have one for 3 or 4 months and realize this guy or gal wasn't a fit. So I'm a big fan of marketing or client attraction systems. And the way I look at it is, we're going to put money at risk, but I don't like things that cost money. So marketing should always be a for-profit endeavor, right? Like when I tell my coaching clients or anyone that's involved in any of this stuff, the investment that you make, you should be making back and then some, right? So whether it's investing in coaching or training involved in yourself, it shouldn't be an expense. It should be a profit center. Exactly the same with advertising. So we're certainly putting money at risk, right? So with advertising, we're going to say, hey, Facebook or Yellow Pages or direct mail or Google, whatever, the dozens of ways we can advertise our business, we're going to put money at risk. But the goal is not to put out a dollar and get back 80 cents or even a dollar. The goal is to put out a dollar and get back $1.50. Fair?
Right. Okay. It better be. Yeah, it has to be.
It has to be. Exactly.
You're right.
So I just want to be clear. First and foremost, the good news is about the cleaning company, there should be minimal reinvestment in that. The hard things that we need, sometimes it's like, well, I want to get office space. And that might be kind of that's not really, I mean, I guess that could be considered reinvestment. The materials that we need to actually do the job is usually very nominal. So I'm a big fan of not having a bunch of cash sitting around. Depending on the business, I like to have somewhere between 15 and 30 days of cash. So if I'm running, if I'm doing 10 grand a month, $5,000 to $10,000 of cash is all that I want. If I have less than that, I get a little nervous. If I have more than that, I'm like, this money should be in advertising or should be doing something that's, you know, going to bring me a return. Just sitting in the bank is a guaranteed no return. So again, if you're doing 100 grand a month, you're doing $1.2 million. I'd like to see you have $50,000 or $100,000. Maybe not quite that. I'd probably be closer to 15 days of cash at that point. That said, the advertising really shouldn't be money that's going away. It should be money that you put at risk. And once you figure it out, then you duplicate. So in the clean profit method, step two, we talk a lot about that in module one, bidding and billing. Module two is tracking. It's really important to track where you put your marketing dollars and how many of those dollars come back and how many of them bring friends. So many people say stuff like, I tried Google AdWords and it doesn't work. Because they gave somebody, you know, $1,000 a month for a couple months and quote unquote didn't get any business and they quit. That doesn't mean Google AdWords doesn't work. It means you didn't put the right message in the right place to the right people. So if you're tracking, what'll happen is you want to step to the plate 5 or 10 times in a year, even maybe even in a quarter, depending on how fast growth you are. And say you go 10 times, you're going to get 2 or 3 or 4 strikeouts where you're just like, that was a mess and it didn't work and it's whatever. That would be a reinvestment in the company. You're going to probably get 4 or 5 singles and doubles, right? Like it didn't work out at the beginning, but then I tweaked it and we kept trying and now it's making us money. And if you're lucky, you'll get 1 or 2 home runs where right off the bat, you try it and you just get customers and it works awesome. So if you are tracking where you're putting your money and how much of a return it is, all that to say to answer your question of how much do I reinvest, you shouldn't have to reinvest very much at all. So I like 80% of the profit. So every month, if you do a P&L, depending on what level you're at, you might be paying yourself a salary. And maybe after that month, you make $2,000 or $3,000 of profit on top of the salary that you're already paying yourself. You might say, I'm going to take 80% of that profit out of the company for myself and then leave 20% in. And again, if you've got 20 days of cash sitting around already, I might take 100% of the profit out, right? If I don't have cash, I'm going to leave it all in. Did that answer your question? Right. I know I talked a lot. I don't know if I answered your question or not.
Yeah, it definitely does. I mean, you know, I've listened to every one of your podcasts. I've listened to hundreds of them, I guess you have now. I've read every book. I have people that I know in the business that my father-in-law was in this business for 40 years. So I've taken everyone's advice, including yours. And really, I've been doing this now for 14 years. So I've kind of gotten to the point where, you know, I do have money coming in to afford to live on, and I'm able to now put money into savings and also invest in, I have a cushion in my account to handle when receivables aren't coming in on time. So that's not even where my concern is at right now at the point of my business, since I've you know, I'm not starting it new, and I have different concerns. My real concern is, you know, I have, since business is pretty good now, changes could change any second. Do I take, if I'm making more money now because business is good, should I be keeping that as profit, or saying, which I kind of like to say, is I'm going all out and taking a chance because I know I'm going to lose some of those really good accounts, that they will come. So do I really, really kind of blow out my sales, my marketing budget to try to compensate for when those good accounts will eventually end?
Okay. Yeah. Great question. So I'm a big fan of consistency. And I love what you're doing. A lot of people do the opposite, which is, oh my gosh, I don't have any customers. I'm broke. I got to go spend a bunch of money on marketing, and I do it under duress and in a stressful situation. And that's a great recipe to kind of, I don't want to say fall for, but buy marketing that somebody sells you. Maybe it works, maybe it doesn't. I like that you're looking at it the way you should be, which is I want to have client attraction systems working all of the time. So I'm a big fan of percentage of sales. For me, marketing should be, our client attraction in the janitorial company, certainly on the commercial side, should be 5 to 10% of your monthly revenue, whether you're doing good or whether you're doing bad, right? It's a crazy thing for people to go, I can't afford marketing. Okay, that's a problem. That means you're not bidding or billing properly. Again, that's what step two of the clean profit method. Make sure you're doing all this stuff. I like 5 to 10% of the sales, and I like that you get, when things are bad, we do marketing activities and create systems that bring in clients, whether you work or not. When we're doing well, we do marketing activities and we create systems that bring clients in and out. So I like that 5 or 10%. I don't like putting a lot of it at risk. So there's kind of three kinds of monies. One is we need to buy physical equipment and we'll make money off of it. I'm not talking about that. Then there's marketing, and there's two kinds of marketing. One is tested and untested. Tested is, I know that if I put up 1,000 door hangers, I'm going to get, 12 opportunities to bid, and we're going to win 3 of those, and it's going to make me this much money. So it's not really, it's still putting money at risk, but it's there's very little risk. If you're like, I've done this over and over again, we do a yellow page ad, or we do this ad or that ad, there's not a lot of risk there. So certainly, if you've got things that are working like that, a lot of times we run out of scale, right? We can only hang so many door hangers. Facebook can only show our ads to so many people, but that's not risky money. The only part we put at risk is the part that's untested, right? I'm trying this Facebook thing. I'm trying this Google thing. I'm trying this whatever thing. Right. And oftentimes they don't work at first, and then they can work. So it's not like you try it and it works or doesn't. You try it and it's either an abomination, you just quit, or more often than not, it works to a degree. It's not quite profitable. You have to tweak it. That's the bulk of it. And then every now and again, you hit a home run. So irrespective of money, like, oh, I've got extra money, I want to go all out, it's really time. We want to make sure that we're doing this in a thoughtful way, right? So I don't want to have you just blow a bunch of money, like call an ad guy, be like, all right, let's do Facebook, let's do LinkedIn, let's do direct mail, let's do a sales guy, let's do telemarketers, let's do, because then what happens, you don't track any of it and you kind of get a feeling, and we can't do any feeling. So as many as you can track, go get them. But if you can't track it and you don't know what your ROI is, take it slow. Yeah. So I would tie it more to how many projects can you manage effectively at a time, more than how much money am I willing to put at risk. So I wouldn't want to be like, oh, I'll just risk more money. Well, that's fine. I'd rather you track it. And again, the cool thing is, if you step up to the bat 10 times this year, at the end of the year, if you track it and do a good job, you're going to have 3 or 4 things that make you money consistently. Did that answer your question?
Yeah. And are you under the belief then that you should diversify with the marketing, as far as, I've done nothing basically with the internet other than having a website. But I've always been, we've got to go get the customer and go find them and go cold call them and go work on them, as opposed to, I once tried to put up a Facebook page and it was a disaster. I basically not only had no one going to it or no one calling me, but I had like a telemarketer I used who badmouthed me on my own site. And I said, it's just not worth my time. I've never hung things on doors. Because I'm commercial and I'm trying to get larger accounts as well, as time went on, I just felt like we needed to find the large account and then go start getting contact names and soliciting. So I really haven't spread it into a million different types of marketing areas. I've really stuck with salespeople or telemarketers are what I've used the most of, or just gone out myself and look for work. I really haven't diversified into basically internet, waiting for people to contact me because they saw a website. That's just kind of how I've always gone about looking for sales.
Yeah, let me answer that, then we're going to have the lightning round because we're running out of time and I want to make sure I get your feedback. But I have very few things. Can I say this is the definitive right answer, right? Most of it's like, hey, I've done this, it's worked, I've had good luck, other people do it different, they can do well. Right. This is the right answer. Diversify. One is the worst number in marketing. The worst. At any time, the government, and I'm not saying it's likely, but anytime the government could say cold calling is illegal, right? They've already done the do not call for residential. They could do that for commercial or change, whatever. Or in today's day and age, people don't answer the phone, right? That's not where they go to get their problem solved. So it just gets worse. Same with cold calling, right? Whatever. Things change, right? People that are, and I'll go on the other side. Facebook at any time could say we're doubling the price of our ads, or we're not going to do ads like this anymore. So one is the worst number. Absolutely diversified. Do you need a million of them? No. But is 10 better than one? Oh, good Lord, yes. Is 3 better than one? Yes, yes, yes. 1,000 times yes. What if you get sick and can't do it or manage a salesperson anymore? On the digital side, what if Facebook or YouTube or, and that happens all the time. People get their accounts banned and right. They try and go back and Facebook's like, yeah, sorry, we're not doing that. So absolutely diversify. Again, I hate to keep hitting the clean profit method, but we talk exactly how to do this and give you a step-by-step system without selling anything, right? I don't have a website to sell or Facebook ads. I don't have any of that crap to sell. So I can tell you, here's how to put the stuff together. And when you do go buy that, you can buy it in a way that suits your needs, not the sales guy's needs. The real quick thing I'll say is a lot of people make the mistake, and you could have done this maybe 20 years ago, it doesn't happen now. If I just put up a website, people will call in, right? I'll put a website on the website. Right. I'll say, call now for a free estimate. And people just call in. Wrong. I've got a website and I promise you nobody goes to it except for listeners to this podcast, right? There's a lot of people listening to podcasts that watch YouTube. They've been to a webinar. They're part of my Facebook group. So I'm creating a bunch of content that they're attracted to, and then they come, and I've got more customers I can handle because they come to me and go, oh, I've heard the podcast or I've done whatever. So it's not just having a website. It's putting out content that your target market is interested in. So instead of knocking on the door, you might put out a piece of content that says 10 things you've got to know before you trust someone new with your keys, or 5 ways your janitorial company could put you out of business, or, you know, tips and tricks on how to not get screwed by a janitorial company. Make sure they're actually doing the work you're paying them for. This is content that's of interest to your target market. So we're going to kind of put out little pieces of candy leading them back to you, and they're going to eat the candy and come to you. Right now, you're just doing it non-systematized, right? You're physically going out or paying a salesperson to go out and say these things to these people. A lot of people, that's not how they want to interact, right? They want to interact at 10 o'clock at night on a Tuesday at home.
Definitely.
Watching a webinar or listening to a podcast or however you want to do it. Yep. So all that to say, yes, 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 1,000 times yes. Diversify. One is the worst number in any business, in any, whether it's marketing or operations. If you have one sales guy and he dies or quits or gets hit by a bus, we got a problem. If you got one cleaner, as you've probably been to, right? We've all been there. That's the worst number. We want 6 cleaners. So something happens to one guy, and it will, we're square. Yep. Diversify. Okay, enough of me talking. I am sure with 14 years in the business, you've got a couple good ideas knocking around that head. I'm going to do my best to extract them for our audience through the lightning round. I'm going to ask you 3 quick questions. You are going to give 3 amazing answers. Question number one, what is the big piece, that's ridiculous, the best big piece of advice you've ever heard, either personally or professionally?
Oh, man. You know, last time I had to come up with 3 things, 3 different pieces of advice and to answer the questions last time. So I'm not prepared for it this time. But basically, it's – and a lot of the other people on the show say it. You just can't stop. If you stop in this business, at least in commercial cleaning, you're going to be going backwards. So if you're not moving forwards, you're moving backwards. I've always grown my business every year, except when we had, a recession. But there's no sitting back and enjoying what you have, because things can change tomorrow. 3 people are going to call and cancel, and it was for no reason, even of your own fault. So it's just to constantly just keep going in this business. Everyone's always told me that, but it's the truth. If you try to take 6 months off and just enjoy yourself and not look for more business, you're going to find out in 6 months, man, I wish I didn't do that.
Couldn't agree more. And for future listeners, anytime you're like, I don't have any good advice, just kiss up to the host and be like, I don't know, Mike, everything you say is the best. But, you know, come on, throw me a bone here, Peter. Come on, we got something. Listen to 100 episodes, you're like, I don't know. I don't have any good advice. You're killing me. Just busted chops, man. All right, let's hit you with the second question. Biggest mistake you've made in the cleaning business? I feel like that's kind of the most fun, right? Biggest mistake you made in the cleaning business we can all learn from.
You know what? There's no one biggest mistake I made. In 14 years, I have made every mistake. I have taken on accounts at the wrong price. I have tried to clean things that I ended up destroying because I had no idea how to clean it. Basically, I've learned from making so many mistakes in this business. All I keep doing is just continuing to read, to go online, to learn new things, and just go to the trade shows and just try to keep continuing to learn as much as I can so that I try to make as much less mistakes now than I did when I first started out. But I have made them all. I can't even name one in particular. I've broken everything. I have people have stolen things. We haven't had injuries, so thank God for that. I keep my people as safe as possible. But
well, you got something to look forward. Wise, you got something to look forward to, Peter. You got to save something for later.
Don't say that. No, we're hopefully almost out of making mistakes at this point.
Yeah, and I always tell my clients, my goal is never to tell you that you won't make any mistakes if I'm working with you, because that would be a big fat lie. My goal is to get you to make new and different mistakes than I made, so at least you can make smarter mistakes than
me
than
too.
I made. Yeah, okay.
Same with me.
Last question. What's one idea Cleaning Nation can put into practice right away to improve their lives or their business? Could be something simple, just easy to implement.
I'm just saying, focus on your business and just go after one account at a time. I mean, my biggest thing in this business is just take care of your current customers. So I mentioned it last time, customer service to me is any business. This is the biggest part of even this business, is just keep your current customers happy, go a little bit over the top, do what you have to, give them personalized service, stay in touch with them, and just keep what you have. Then you can go and keep looking for new stuff. As long as what you have is under control and your customers are as happy as you can make them, that's how you're going to go about growing and continuing to add more on, and it will build as opposed to just going through constant turnover.
Only a crazy person would argue with that, Peter. Very well said. Thank you for coming back, joining us, being on the show again. I really dig your vibe and your experience. I appreciate you. I know Cleaning Nation appreciates you. Cleaning Nation, if you want to check out Peter's show notes page, get all sorts of cool, amazing free content I've given you, learn more about the Clean Profit Method, the 9 steps you need to grow your cleaning company, it is all at growmycleaningcompany.com. Check it out now. I will see you there.
Congratulations! You are now 16% smarter. Still can't get enough cleaning goodness? Go to www.growmycleaningcompany.com for more of the good stuff. Ever want to be rich and famous? Owners of cleaning companies, as well as industry experts, can apply to be featured on the show by emailing our producer Natalie at support@growmycleaningcompany.com. Until then, don't miss out on all the latest cleaning industry lovin' at www.growmycleaningcompany.com. Check it out now.